Good morning. As announced, the scripture reading is Matthew 5, verses 38 through 42. Matthew 5, 38 through 42. You have heard that it has been said, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. But I say unto you that ye resist not evil, but whosoever shall smite thee on the right cheek, turn to him the other also. And if any man will sue thee at the law and take away thy coat, let him have thy cloak also. And whosoever shall compel thee to go a mile, go with him twain. Give to him that asketh thee, and from him that would borrow from thee, turn not away.
Good to be with you this morning. We appreciate everyone's presence. Is this working?
Okay. All right. Better? Good. Appreciate everyone's presence this morning, as we always do. As was said, if you're visiting with us, we're certainly glad that you are here. If you have any questions at all about anything that we say or do, just let us know. We'll do our very best to give you a Bible answer for your Bible question. If you have obeyed the gospel, that makes you a disciple of Jesus Christ. The question is, what kind of disciple are you? What kind of disciple am I? Are we successful disciples? Do we want to be successful disciples of Christ? Well, there is a surefire way that we can assure ourselves that we will be successful in the realm of discipleship. And I'm going to tell you what that is. But before I do, let me suggest to you that it is a blessing simply that we can know what it takes to be a great disciple. Let me put it into perspective like this. What if I could give you a way that you could attain earthly wealth and it would be totally safe from a spiritual standpoint, a physical standpoint, even risk-free financially? Would you be interested in that? Well, most of you would probably say yes. As long as you would continue to be strong spiritually and it wouldn't affect your relationship with God, that would be fine. Or what if I could tell you a way that you could attain peace and happiness here on earth? And again, it wouldn't cause you to compromise your faith or your following of Jesus whatsoever. Would you be interested in that? Most of you would say yes. But what I'm talking about here this morning is far more important than earthly wealth or even peace and happiness here on earth. What I'm talking about has eternal ramifications to it. I'm talking about something that will affect your soul forever. I'm talking about how you can be the very best disciple possible. And I'm not just teasing you. This is not just to pique your interest at the beginning of this sermon. Right here, right now, I can tell you exactly how you could be the greatest disciple that is humanly possible. And here it is. All you have to do is live in the second mile. That's it. If you simply live in the second mile, you will be an outstanding disciple of Christ. Now, you may have to sacrifice a little bit in the second mile. There might be some difficulties there, but it will make you the greatest possible follower, disciple of Jesus Christ. But what is the second mile principle? We just read of it in Matthew chapter 5, and of course, in that context, the verses were 38 through 42. In that context, Jesus is teaching us how to respond to mistreatment. So, as we just heard the brother read, we find that Jesus said, if someone slaps you on the right cheek, then you turn to him the other. If someone sues you and takes away your tunic, you give him your cloak as well. And verse 41, he says, and if anyone forces you to go 1 mile, go with him 2 miles. And so Jesus sets forth this principle of the second mile. Now, you see the word forces there. The Greek word there is actually a Persian word in origin, and it carries the idea to be a courier, or by implication, to press into public service. So in the kingdom of Persia, Cyrus, whenever he wanted to get things out, whenever he had a command that he wanted to go through the entire kingdom, he set up these stations with horsemen at all of the public highways. And so the one horseman would take the message to the next and then to the next, and it would very quickly go throughout the entire kingdom. Well, in the days of Jesus, the Romans borrowed that principle, only they applied it to the Roman soldier. And they made it so that it wasn't just a message. A Roman soldier actually had the authority to stop anybody he wanted to if he was carrying a package, some kind of load, and he could compel that individual to take that load for him for 1 mile. And if he was going a long distance, he could do that. Every time he gets to a mile, he could compel somebody else, and so he wouldn't have to carry anything. And so that was the law that was in place when Jesus spoke these words in Matthew chapter 5. Now, the Jews despised this law. First of all, it was humiliating to them that someone could stop them at any time and force them to stop what they were doing and carry a package. But not only that, it just reminded them that they were a conquered people. And so they despised it. And you could just imagine that when Jesus brought this up, some of those Jews, they would be thinking to themselves, he has got to be kidding. Like, does he actually expect us to do more than the law requires? And that's exactly what Jesus was teaching them. And by inference, that's what he is teaching us. You want to be a great disciple of Jesus Christ, you want to be an outstanding citizen in the kingdom of God, then you have to be willing to do even more than what is required. That will make you the best disciple possible. Why? Let's look at three things here this morning. First of all, the second mile is the character mile. When you stop and think about it, there's a huge difference in character between the one who is only willing to go 1 mile and the one who is willing to go the second mile. There's a difference in outer demeanor. There's a difference in the inner mentality of the two. You take the Jew who again, he despised this law and he was only willing to go the 1 mile. You know very well that he would be unhappy. Right when that Roman soldier came to him and said, I want you to carry this package to 1 mile, he would be upset. He would be angry that he couldn't do what he wanted to do, that he had to stop doing what he was doing or stop going where he was going. And so his whole attitude would be bad. And so the first mile mentality then is filled with hostility and frustration. The first mile mentality is full with criticism and constant complaining. And when we leave the dusty roads of the first century and we come home then to the first century Christianity and think about us even today in modern Christianity, we find nothing really has changed. The church is filled with individuals only willing to go the first mile. And their mentality is the same. They're the ones in the church who are always unhappy about something. They're the ones who are always criticizing somebody. They're always complaining about something. They're angry about this and they're angry or frustrated about that. They constantly have a problem and they're always right at the verge of leaving the local church or sometimes even leaving the church altogether because of their dissatisfaction. You want to know who they are in local churches like this? And every local church has a few. But you want to know who they are? They're the ones in the local church who will do the will of God, but that's it. They won't do any more than what is required. And they're the ones who do the will of God, not because they want to, but simply because they're forced to do it. They do it only because they have to. And there's a lot of examples that we could give along these lines. The first mile only disciples. We could make the application to attendance. Like all through the years, we have individuals who think, well, all I have to do is go to the Sunday morning service where I could partake of the Lord's Supper, and I don't have to come back on Sunday night, and I certainly don't have to go to Wednesday night service. None of that is required, and so I'm not going to do it. And we could argue that point if I wanted to. I could prove to you that if you're a member of this congregation, you're obligated to come back Sunday night. You're obligated to come to Wednesday night services, but that's a different sermon for a different time. The very mentality, well, you know, it's not required, and so I'm not coming to Bible study on Sunday morning. I want to get a little more rest in the morning, so I'm not going to attend that particular service. That's the first mile mentality. And that's the person who is only going to go as far as he or she absolutely has to and not any further. Just like that Jew. That Jew in the first century who was compelled to carry a package, he would stop at that mile point. He wouldn't go one inch further because he was unhappy. He was disgruntled that he had to do that in the first place. And again, they're members of the church like that. We could make the application to giving. They give only because they have to. But they don't give cheerfully, like Paul said. Instead, they give grudgingly. Or we could make the application just to serve, to worship in general. They sing, but their hearts aren't in it. They listen to the preaching, but really their mind actually is somewhere else because they really don't want to be here. That's the first mile mentality. But the second mile person is totally different. He has a different character, and so his demeanor and his disposition is totally different. He actually has conquered the whole situation. That second mile person, he is the one now who is in control instead of being the one who is controlled. He has gone from being the slave to becoming the master of that situation. Let me put it like this. In the first mile, that's the I have to mile. The second mile is the I want to mile. And so if anyone ever finds themselves in the second mile, you know he is there because that's where he wants to be. He's not there by accident. You never end up in the second mile by accident. Nobody can force you to go that second mile. The law is just 1 mile and that's it. If you go on to the second mile, it's only because that's what you want to do. And so those in the second mile have a whole different disposition. There's no insults being hurled in the second mile. There's no complaining. There's no criticism. There's not any kind of negative attitude at all because that individual in the second mile is the one in control. He anticipates the fact that he's going to be there. He knows that sooner or later that Roman soldier is going to come and compel him to carry that package. And he's looking forward to it because it gives him the opportunity to serve in the second mile. Now you stop and think about it. Let me tell you something else about that person in the second mile. He's not really thinking about himself. That first mile mentality, that person only willing to go the first mile, that's all he can think about. He only thinks about self. He only thinks about what he wants, his own desires, his own wishes. He's only thinking about how he's being mistreated and his rights are being trampled upon. All he thinks about is self. But the one in the second mile, he's thinking about the one he is serving. He's doing what he wants to do. He wants to serve that other individual. And so he does so joyfully. He's happy. He's glad that he's in that second mile. And when we transfer all of that again, we bring that to our day and time as disciples of Christ. Who is the greatest kind of disciple? It's the individual who is serving Jesus Christ, not because he has to, but because he wants to. He's there on purpose. He knows exactly what he's doing. He is in control of the situation because he's doing what he wants to do. And what he wants to do is in line with what the Father wants him to do. And so he does it with joy. And the question is, what mile are you on? What kind of disciple are you? Are you here this morning because you have to be, or is this exactly where you want to be? Do you hold a grudge, or are you frustrated when you have to do something you really don't even want to do in the first place? Or do you appreciate and look forward to all the different things the Lord asks us to do because it's exactly what you want to be doing? Are you on the first mile or the second mile? If you're willing to go the second mile, you'll be an outstanding follower of Jesus Christ. There's no question about it. It says a lot about your character so far as being a Christian is concerned. But I'll tell you something else. The second mile is the commitment mile. So on the first mile, you have legalism. On the second mile, you have love. And I have to pause for a minute because I want to make sure you understand this. And I've said this before several times, but I want to make sure you understand. I have nothing against legalism. And I'm not saying what I'm saying about the first mile because legalism is negative. Denominational preachers think that legalism is something negative. That came out of the 16th century Reformation movement. Jesus never ever condemned legalism. I've said many times before, if you accuse me of being a legalist, I plead guilty. That's exactly what I am. And I would defy anyone to show me anywhere in the Bible where Jesus ever, or one of his apostles, ever condemned that. Legalism, according to Webster's dictionary, is strict, literal, or excessive conformity to the law or to a religious moral code. Where is that ever condemned? Like, denominational preachers think that Jesus condemns this left and right. He's constantly condemning legalism. They find condemnation of that in every epistle in the New Testament. But it's all a twisting of passages. It's something they've conjured up in their own mind. God never condemns a strict observance and conformity to his law, whatever law you happen to be under. God never condemns that. You want to see what Jesus condemns in Matthew chapter 23, and at verse 1 it says, and then Jesus said to the crowds and to his disciples, the scribes and the Pharisees sit on Moses' seat, so do and observe whatever they tell you, but not the works that they do. Why? For they preach, but do not practice. That's what Jesus condemned. He never condemned practicing the law. Like, where's the Bible for that? He never, ever did that. He practiced individuals talking about doing, but never getting around to the business of doing. Now, what is condemned? If someone's trying to earn his salvation by perfect living, then all right, that's something altogether different. You can't be saved by that. But the idea of conforming to the law and being very strict about that, and demanding that we live, as Jesus said in one place, that we live by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. That's never condemned in the Bible. That is expected by God. Now, we can say more about that, and I've taught on that on different occasions. But I brought up legalism, so I had to clear that up. I'm not using the term legalism negatively. But the fact of the matter is, that's what you find in the first mile. And in fact, that first mile covers territory that is very crowded. Like, there's cars all in the street of the first mile. There's pedestrians walking up and down the sidewalk. It's a very busy place. When you come to the second mile, that's a little bit different. And not too crowded on the second mile. The reason the first mile is so crowded, because everyone who ever obeys the gospel immediately enters into the first mile. Everybody. That's just where you end up when you obey the gospel. And now you have to observe the law of God. In our case, that would be the law of Christ. And so that's the first mile. There's a whole lot of people there. There's only a few people who are willing to go the second mile. That's the mile of commitment. That's the mile where you are interested in doing even more than you're required. That is the mile where you have a totally different attitude. Where you don't just want to be a disciple, you want to be a disciple who makes a difference. You want to be someone who goes even beyond what is actually required so that you can be a great follower of Jesus Christ. And I wish I could say that everybody is always willing to go the second mile, but that's just not the case. In fact, all of us probably struggle to get there sometimes. But if you want to be a great disciple of Christ, that's where it's located. It's on the second mile. The context of Matthew chapter 5 really is all about that. When Jesus says, if someone slaps your right cheek, turn to him the other. That's the second mile. That's going beyond what is even required. When someone sues you and takes your tunic, give your cloak as well. Well, the law doesn't demand that, but that's going the second mile. Lend to the poor without expecting anything back. That's the second mile. Love your neighbor, but not only that, and your enemies, and pray for those who persecute you. That's going the second mile. That's what it's all about. The second mile is filled with individuals who are willing to work. And when you stop and think about it, it's that second mile living that leads to success, not only spiritually, but in any walk of life, really. If you want to have a successful marriage, live in the second mile. You hear, I can hear a husband right now. You know, I'm willing to work and provide for my family. I'm the breadwinner, but you expect me to wash the dish? I'm not doing that. That's the first mile mentality. So even in marriage, you can make application on that. On the job, you can make application on that. Receiving a good education in any area of life, when you're willing to work hard, you're willing to go beyond what is required and do a little bit extra, you're walking in the second mile. And generally, that leads to success. Spiritually, it always does. If you're that kind of disciple, that kind of citizen of the kingdom of God, you're willing to work. You're willing to give your all, not just trying to just get by, but you want to do even more than required. That will cause you to be a great disciple. You'll be of great value to the local church. You'll be able to be relied on by God. That's a great disciple of Christ. You know who lived in the second mile? Paul did. Turn your Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 9 and watch Paul. This is second mile living right here. 1 Corinthians chapter 9 and beginning at verse 16. 1 Corinthians chapter 9 and at verse 16. This really is dealing with one particular thing, but this epitomizes the life of Paul, actually. At verse 16, he says, "For if I preach the gospel that gives me no ground for boasting." You know why? Because preaching the gospel is the first mile. He was obligated to do that. Fact of the matter is, we're all obligated to do that. I'll talk more about that in just a moment. In fact, in the next point a little bit. But he says, if I preach the gospel, that gives me no ground for boasting. For necessity is laid upon me. Woe is unto me if I preach not the gospel. For if I do this of my own will, I have a reward. But if not of my own will, I am still entrusted with the stewardship. Now watch. What then is my reward? That in my preaching, I may present the gospel free of charge so as not to make full use of my right in the gospel. We saw that this morning, didn't we? Paul actually did that when he was with the brethren at Thessalonica. And so, just preaching the gospel, that was the first mile. Preaching the gospel without compensation, that was the second mile.
And that's what Paul was willing to do. But it didn't just stop with the finances. Listen to this. At verse 19 it says, "For though I am free from all, I have made myself a servant to all, that I might win more of them. To the Jew I became as a Jew in order to win Jews. To those under the law I became as one under the law, though not being myself under law, that I might win those under the law. To those outside the law, I became as one outside the law, not being outside the law of God, but under the law of Christ, that I might win those outside the law. To the weak, I became weak. I have become all things to all people, that by all means I might save some." Why, Paul? Because he made himself a servant. Paul was an individual who cared about serving other people. So he was willing to sacrifice some rights and liberties that he had if it was for the betterment of other people. That's the second mile living. That Paul just camped out in the second mile. He was constantly giving up rights to help brethren. And so that's the attitude that we need to have. The brethren of Macedonia had that attitude. Look over at 2 Corinthians chapter 8. You're familiar with this, I'm sure. 2 Corinthians 8. And beginning at verse 3. This has to do with the churches given to the poor saints in Jerusalem. And Paul, here at verse 3, he says about these brethren, 2 Corinthians 8 at verse 3. He says, "For they gave according to their means, as I can testify," now watch, "in beyond their means." That's the second mile right there. These brethren at Macedonia, if we read from the start of this, you find these churches of Macedonia, they were kind of poor themselves. They themselves were in poverty, but when they heard about the poverty of the brethren in Jerusalem, and knowing that as Gentiles, if they gave to this Jewish church, it would go a long way in helping the relationship between Jew and Gentiles. They not only gave, they gave beyond their means. Second mile living. And Paul was impressed. They did more than even Paul anticipated. At verse 5 it says, "And this, not as we expected, but they gave themselves first to the Lord and then by the will of God to us." They surprised Paul at how much they gave because they were living in the second mile. Where are you living? What kind of disciple are you? What kind of disciple am I? Do we really, really want to be successful? Are we willing to operate in that second mile? Willing to work? Having the good attitude? Never complaining? Not criticizing anybody? But being filled with joy? Doing more than even God requires of us. That's what makes a great disciple. You could be a disciple without that. You can be a disciple. You could probably even go to heaven in the first mile. But if you really want to be the greatest follower of Christ possible, if you want to reach your full potential, that happens in the second mile. And I'll tell you one more thing about that. The second mile is the commission mile. And I'm talking really about the Great Commission. In Matthew chapter 28 at verse 19, it says, "Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit." Now this, just like a lot of things, you'll find in both the first mile and the second mile. In fact, anything in the second mile, just from a legal standpoint, has to be in the first mile because it has to be lawful. But in the second mile, you just take it to a different level. You just go beyond what is required. Now, preaching the gospel, that's first mile stuff, of course. We're all, as I said a moment ago, every one of us are obligated and commanded to preach the gospel. It's just a matter of being obedient. We have to look, we have to make sure that we take advantage of opportunities that we have to share the gospel with people. Surely you are at least doing that. Surely I'm doing that. My eyes are open. If I'm presented with an opportunity to teach someone about Jesus or to teach someone about the church, surely I'm going to take advantage of that. That's just first mile stuff. The second mile is made up of those who are truly evangelistic in mentality. They're not sitting back waiting for some opportunity to pop up out of nowhere. They're aggressive. They're going out. They're trying to find people. They're trying to reach the lost because they want to serve people. That second mile mentality just naturally is conducive to winning souls. Think about that Jew who is compelled to carry the package once again. Not the fellow who's only has the first mile mentality. Think about the Jew who comes along and he has the second mile mentality. That Roman soldier walks up to him and says, "Hey, take this package." He's not even nice about it because he has the authority. "You take this package for me a mile." And that Jew says, "Yes, sir. I'm glad to do it." That would surprise the Roman soldier. He'd be shocked by that. He'd say, "Matt, most people I get to carry a package, they're all upset. I can tell. They might not even say anything because they're afraid, but you could just tell they're full of anger." "And no, I'm glad to do it. Glad to do it. Come on, let's go." And they walk together on that first mile. And that Jew is happy, and that Roman wants to know, "Why is it that you're so happy having to do this?" See, that Jew, he's taken control of the situation, hasn't he? He's controlling it. It's not the Roman who's in control of that situation. That Jew with the second mile mentality, he's controlling it. And you can just imagine that they reach to that end of the first mile, and the Jew says, "Hey, come on, I'm going to take it another mile." That Roman soldier would almost drop. He'd be shocked over that. And you know as well as I do, on that second mile, if we were talking about a Christian, he'd have all kinds of opportunity to talk with that Roman soldier. And that's his aim in the very first place. He wants to go the second mile because he's about serving. He knows from the very beginning when that Roman soldier approaches him, he knows already, even before he's compelled to go the first mile, that he's going the second mile. Because he wants to win a soul. And so he understands, "I get this Roman to go with me into the second mile. We can talk. I might win him to Christ." The very attitude of the second mile leads people to Christ. It is, again, conducive to preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. When people see you living your life, and no matter what, you're filled with joy, you're happy to do even more than what's required, they see a total commitment from you. That leads to questions. That leads to people wanting to know why you are what you are, why you live the way you do. That's the commission mile. That's the mile that all of us should want to be on. What kind of disciple are you? Do you live your life in the first mile? Willing to go that first mile, but you're not happy about it. And so you're constantly complaining and you're criticizing whenever you have the opportunity to do so. Or do you have the second mile mentality? You want to be a great disciple, the best disciple humanly possible? It's right there in the second mile. But you have to be willing to go that second mile. I hope you will. I hope I will. I hope together we all will. Let me tell you something. When you have a congregation filled with second mile Christians, you have a second mile congregation. And you have a congregation that's going to get things done. Because collectively, we're willing to do even more than is being asked of us. So we can serve other people and really make a difference in our community. I hope we'll be second mile Christians. Are you subject to the invitation of Christ? Maybe you haven't obeyed the gospel. You certainly need to do that. Before you can go the second mile, you have to become a disciple of Christ in the first place. And there's only one way you can do that. That is by obeying the gospel of Christ. Thankfully, it's very easy. Acts 2 at verse 38, "Repent and be baptized," Peter said. And nearly 2,000 years later, it's still the same. You want to become a disciple of Christ? Repent of your sins and be baptized. If you are baptized, your sins will be forgiven. You'll receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. That's a reference to salvation. You will be saved. if you'll just obey the gospel. But you have to do it. No one can do it for you. You have to respond. I hope you will. I hope you do it right now as we together stand and sing.